Coming up next, it's the Magnuson Park Gallery Exchange, an opportunity to hear directly from artists and those in the arts community. Learn what really inspires and motivates the creative work shown in the Magnuson Park Gallery.
Hi everyone, this is Terrico Summers with Magnuson Park Gallery. For the first time, Magnuson Park Gallery is proud to present Magnuson Makers, an exhibition featuring diverse talents of many artists who reside in Magnuson Park. They reside in Mercery Magnuson Place, Solid Ground, and Sandpoint Cottages. Sandpoint Arts and Culture Exchange is committed to highlighting music and art programs that build and enrich our community, which makes this show especially significant as it marks an opportunity for many of these artists to be seen for the first time. Magnuson Makers is currently on display and will run till December 21st. Now I want to introduce you to the artist and brainchild of Magnuson Makers, who is here today to tell us more about the show. Heza Feza is a musician and an art creator who lives in Mercy Magnuson Place, who brought all the artists together and created this show. Welcome, Heza.
Thank you, Jericho. So happy to be here.
I know. It's nice to have you here. I was just thinking back in terms of the first time I met you. It was probably 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. I was very new to space, and I was at the gallery, and you came in. And I remember it was one of those days that I just felt, you know, I was like, oh, this is great. Like, just because when you came in, you're like, hi, I'm Heza. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. You know, and you talked about being an artist and a musician. Mm. And then when you found out about the gallery and then the radio station that we have, you're like, oh my God, this is amazing. And it really brought joy to my heart, that, you know, we were doing something that really impacted. I don't know. You just seemed so excited about it. And come full circle, here you are, and you are helped create a show for us at the gallery, which is amazing.
Yeah, these full circle moments are so gratifying. And I remember that first day very well. I was exploring the park and skating around with my loved one, Lacio, and we wandered up the steps to the gallery. We're just so excited about it. And you gave us the whole spiel, and the exhibit there was really captivating. I think it was a lot of candy collages.
Oh, right. It was Kelly Lyle's.
Yes.
Show,
so playful. So playful. And the way that I could tell that y'all were open to the neighborhood, but also wanting to connect and excited to hear that I was a resident there, and just the music and art combo that you had going on with space was super exciting to me. And I think the following call for proposals was the moment that I decided to shoot my shot with an idea for a show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now it's there. I wanted to talk just because, Mercy Magnuson Place is in Magnuson Park. And to be honest, I asked a lot of people around and I don't know that much about it. And can you just speak a little bit about that, of living there and the community?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It needs you? Yeah, totally. Magnuson Park has always been such a great park to explore anyways. I was working at PCC at the time, and I got word from my coworkers there that there were these apartments opening up to apply for, to live in. And a couple other people at PCC were also considering to apply at the time. And I remember going to see what was up and being just immediately in awe by this majestic looking building, almost like a palace, and these big windows. And it was a longer process to apply, with like a delayed move-in. But everybody who moved in at the time, it turned out to be the summer before the pandemic, was so excited to be there in this fresh new place. I remember the opening celebration, a whole team of people from, you know, different places, including a sisterhood, I think, of nuns that helped to bring along the project. Other people that have worked for the city for many years. I mean, for decades, actually, just seeing this project through, this decrepit standing building that used to be Navy housing on this place where, you know, it was a Navy base, to turn it into affordable housing for people to live in this amazing place with all these other assets and resources. And so there had been different tables at the opening celebration, kind of giving us a clue as new residents what all the park had to offer. Then the pandemic shut down everything. And so even us as neighbors were kind of isolated from each other, as you can imagine, mm-hmm. as we all were in this scary time of just what's next, what does the future hold. I remember even the park having hundreds of signs telling you not to like stay or dwell in the park. It was just such a weird time. But as things kind of thawed out and opened back up again, so did the exploration. And me and my neighbors, we found our pockets of places to go play and become a part of community, in homework clubs to tennis club to the community center opening back up, and then the discovery of the art gallery. But back to the Mercy Magnuson itself, it's not the only building on this campus. There's also Solid Ground and Sandpoint Cottages that where families and different kind of demographics reside, so they all have a certain aspect of support for people to live there, to not have to pay full market rate prices, which makes it accessible to more people. And myself as an artist, you know, that's one of the things, one of the hats that I wear in terms of why I have these accessibility needs where I'm not holding a regular job. It made it affordable to live in this beautiful place. And I think that all of the people that live in Mercy Magnuson, we're also excited about the diverse community that we are, the different languages that we hear, and just the love of, general love I feel like we have of beauty of nature, art, family, and just trying to have a good quality life.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like you've met some really interesting and really great friends through, I met a few of them the other night, and and then the fact that there's so many that, I mean, how many artists are in the show? It's about like 12?
I think we were counting through like 12, 13 artists. It was quite a good number, I felt, for a group exhibition. And it really came together. And you could pretty much draw every artist to a personal relationship of where there was getting to know each other as artists, and then an encouragement. Hey, how's the art going? This is like a year process kind of coming to be to this point of exhibiting the work. Mm-hmm. And then the guidance through which Maddie was so amazing in her patience and help with most of the artists being first-time exhibitors.
So Maddie is our director.
And yes.
She does an amazing job.
Yeah.
And there's so much different art. There's photography. Mm-hmm. There's textile, or actually like some beadwork, mm-hmm. And also some video production. And,
yeah,
and you did some of that. And
yes. And you know, I learned a new term, time-based media. I didn't realize that was like a term that you could use for video and music. That makes it, that opened my mind to how to see my art in terms of like how it fits in a gallery. Oh, this is a time-based piece. That's how I can, as a musician, fit into a gallery. Like, okay, I just learned that from Maddie the other day. And so at the exhibit, there's at least three different musical artists presenting their work in this visual form. But, you know, there's a sound aspect to it as well, where stills from music videos are just beautiful cinematography portrayed as stills, nicely framed, again, with the help of the gallery, accompanying a projection of, at this time, two different music videos that are cycling through, one by Kriya May called Red Wine, mm-hmm. and she's a Magnuson maker. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is Life's Mystery, which is the music video that I put together as well. And I want to shout out Nagin Shabazi, who filmed for us these videos that both Kree and I self-creative directed. And, you know, there are songs featured in those music videos too. And you mentioned beadwork. What a special thing it is as an artist to see the full vision. Because as an independent artist, you're wearing many different hats and putting the whole vision together, doing all different, you know, facets of the work. And to see it come together like this with the honoring of the stills, those like moments that you also like were so captivated by it when you're editing the video, but you get to see them just that moment there framed up. And then the costume that was made, the beadwork in particular, out of red coral beads that took so many hours during the pandemic to make, you know, here in the park, you know, taking breaks to walk outside, but then getting back into the microscopic work of beading thousands of beads together to create this adornment for the music video. To see it all together is so gratifying. And the third music artist is our neighbor, Lorraine Bays, who is a children's music.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, she made children's music with a troupe, her and another person whose name I forget right now led the way, but 3 decades worth of children's music called under the group name Tickle Tune Typhoon.
That's right. And we have a record player that can play it.
Yeah.
Which is kind of fun.
Yeah. So her vinyls are up there. The cover art is shown. And it's in the stack of records, including my record Nomadic Nebula. It's like such an interactive exhibit. Like,
it
I'm
really
so excited. Is. Yeah. And then the kids art too. But I'm sure you want to ask more questions.
Oh,
but yeah.
Oh, no. That is my favorite part of the exhibit, is because you have some artists who have small children. Mm-hmm. And they got to submit their artwork as well.
Right.
And as young as, you know, I think 2 and 4. And I know you know the kids.
Yes,
and I love the idea that, you know, they're going to walk in and get to see their art on display.
Mm-hmm.
So that's...
Yeah, I can't wait for that moment. It will be either this Saturday or the opening reception in December. And they're stars. They have that vision. Ask them about their work, they'll tell you all about it. Like, there's so many different interpretations. Like, it's so exciting. They know that this is their work, and they're happy to show it. Like, it was really cool.
I think that will be really inspirational to other kids as well. I mean, it's inspirational to me because I look at some of their art. I'm like, wow, okay.
Yeah. And
full canvas.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. When I was in the gallery last Saturday, there was a family that came through, and the mom immediately pointed out, like, seeing the age that was there on the under the name, that gave the clue, like, oh, this is another kid. And they're like, hey, look, you could exhibit here too. And like, the kids' eyes lit up. And yeah, that's how we do it. If you can see yourself in something, then it's motivating.
I know there's a lot of different artists and they have separate works, but they all seem to blend together. And I don't know if, there's not a common theme really, but I just feel so joyful. And that it's definitely colorful and joyful, and just exhibit that really makes you feel happy.
I feel the same way too. It's like a grandmother's kitchen, or just celebrating the whole family. Like, because it's like, it could be, it's like such a diverse group of people that have come together in the space, and there's this joy, and like, they're sharing this time spent on the works that, you know, this time that they were able to carve out to spend on the work. And it's so nice to see that they chose like this joy and color, and that's what they wanted to share with us. And the way it's laid out too, with the kids art at a level where they can like kind of be eye level with it as well. The variety of parent child artworks being next to each other, but also some in their completely their own corner standing as individuals. Some beautiful portraits as well. Like, shout out Mayra Villalobos, who really is another first-time exhibitor who painted specifically towards this show. And you can hear her story. Hopefully she'll do an artist talk at the reception. Just how she, over time and with this goal in mind, like, her work, she just felt that improvement. We can see it. It's just gorgeous, colorful depictions of her, you know, Mexican indigenous heritage, and wanting to honor that through other depictions of people that resonate with her in that way, that connection to nature and bright adornments and beauty.
No, they're beautiful. Tell me a little bit about the application process.
Yeah, the application process, it was quite organic. And I think with the next possible Magnuson Maker exhibits to come, people get more into the flow of it. But the way this way went was traveling through word of mouth. Mercy Magnuson, in the perspective of this exhibit happening, you know, a year out, we had a lot of time to plan for doing these then monthly art nights, where people will come out and just create art and see who was really interested in developing their works and just kept spreading the word. There's going to be an exhibit. If you're interested, you could display your art there. And then it was a bit more challenging since I'm not a resident of Sandpoint Cottages or solid ground buildings to reach out to those folks there with the posters for the open application, the open call for art. But we did get those posters out and word was spread, and it was cool to hear from each staff member like, oh yeah, we have artists in the building. I'm sure there will be interest here. The reminders of, hey, did you apply yet? And the application's online. And even after the application had officially closed, there was some leniency just so we could get as many participants in as possible. But it was free to apply. Anybody could, who, you know, had been residing, making the park in that way, could apply for being in the gallery.
And I know Maddie, like, decreased the percentage that the gallery would get. So, I mean, I think usually it's, you know, maybe 15% is down to 10. So most of the the sale of the work would go to the artist.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I heard even like maybe it was like 30 and then it brought it down to 10. Like that's like so generous, like so such great thresholds lowered for the access to it, since it was pretty much most everybody's first time exhibiting in the gallery. Mm-hmm. And other services were offered, like helping to frame the works too, which just made them pop off the wall more, and some guidance around creating your artist's statement too. Like, if you've never done that before, how would you even know where to start? So that's been really supporting for these first time budding artists to be in the show. And I think that Maddie mentioned that it's the first time doing an all ages show, and also the first time including time-based media, so music and video. Those are even more exciting. First time group exhibit of the residents here, first time all ages, first time music and video being included. So go space.
That's why it's such an exciting show.
Yeah.
I just wanted to find out a little bit more about your background. How did you find art? And because then also I wanted to find out a little bit more about the piece, the creative piece or the more visual piece that you did with the leaves.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, how did that come to, because it's really unique.
Thank you. Let's start with the flowers, because the flowers, I call them flower hezas.
Okay.
And I think that my own nomadic background of having moved to different places, always having to restart in community, it also allowed for diverse kind of inspirations and teachers to influence my art. So I didn't have just one teacher accompany me the whole way through my childhood. It was different ones along the way. And just finding that spark, visiting lots of museums and art galleries. When I lived in Germany, we would travel. We would just drive, because everything's so close, to different cities, stay in youth hostels, just travel very cheaply, but make it out to see the arts and the culture. And so I think that being exposed to so much art as a child really influenced my style and travels as well. My father traveling constantly for work and bringing back little bits and pieces, like, and photos, impressions of these places. I think that made me really appreciate the multifacetedness of one piece can be. And I think I've always been really appreciative of more collage-like, colorful, kind of eclectic.
Because you work. Have the leaves, yeah. And they have, it's like wooden hair pieces, mm-hmm. but they're really bright florals.
Yes.
So,
yeah. So again, with this, all the time in the pandemic, to think about art and not really know where it's going to go, going within and kind of creating puzzles to solve for myself, but wanting to connect with people too. So I had my album mixed and ready to go, but nowhere to perform it. What was the prospect of that? We didn't know. So I decided to expand out on the visual world and wanted to connect with others, I reached out to 12 different artists, to 12 different femme artists, non-binary artists from around the world that in some way I had a connection to listen to my album before, you know, it was released to the public and make me a flower in their medium. And I showed them the final vision of what I wanted. These were all flowers to then contribute to the cover art of the album. So I had sketched it all out. I had shown them what these flowers would be turned into, these hair adornments that you could stick into your hair, or you could use in other ways too. You could stick it into your, like a bodice, which ended up being this leaf that, or you could stick it in a flower pot, you know, so it could be like a hair's adornment, even like a weapon, you know, thinking about, you know, the other side of like what you need to be as, you know, a woman walking through this world, and just an adornment to make something pretty, or like maybe a small gift you could imagine giving to somebody along the way, along your travels, maybe something you trade for. And so then these 12 flowers digitally were sent to me, each by the 12 different artists. And I then went into massive amounts of time hand laboring these flower sticks, you know, cutting them out meticulously, learning how to use a laser cutter, but still there's more to do there, and cutting the wood out, sanding it, staining it, gluing the paper on, painting it with resin, letting it dry, and then, you know, arranging them in this photo for the cover art and giving it more life now in the exhibit where people can look at them closely. And, you know, the gallery, it's cool. Art is for sale there. And so I'm selling these to fundraise for the next artistic projects, circle the energy back so it doesn't remain stagnant and keep them flowing in the world. But the leaves, I call those leaf hezas. They're made out of wool, chartreuse felted wool, and then embroidered with like a blue embroidery stitch, tie-dyed with indigo. And so that's some of the handwork that was done on the leaves. Just wanted to keep it naturally inspired and natural materials, and I filmed a lot of that process too. That's for another show, to show all the process videos of making.
it's really incredible, and that sounds like an amazing amount of work. Wow. Mm-hmm. Is there, what's next for you moving forward?
So I'm excited to have this whole kind of community work, being here, meeting different organizations around the park, and it feels like a really culminating moment of winter solstice show, because I've done the winter solstice show in different places in Seattle since, again, the winter before the pandemic. That was the first one that I did. And then now I'm looking forward to December 22nd, putting together winter solstice show in community with the community, have a platform for other artists to share their voices, I guess more that time-based media like we're talking about, that music and that those beats, creating some movement, maybe with some skating in the gym, and a show in the theater with the set of the Wizard of Oz present too. These are all things that are still forming. We're speaking out into existence like it's going to happen, but soon to be announced officially. It's exciting though.
Well, it started with Magnus Park Gallery, so you're here.
Yeah.
It's great to have your creative presence in the park for sure.
Thank you.
Thank you, Heza, so much for coming in and telling us about Magnus and Maker's show.
Yeah.
And I have to say it's one of the most colorful, innovative shows that I've seen yet. Mm-hmm. And for all of you out there, if you're interested in coming to view the show, our gallery hours are Thursday, Friday, and Saturday from 12 to 3 o'clock. Really important, we are also celebrating these talented creators on Friday, December 13th from 5 to 7 o'clock at the Magnus and Makers Artist Reception, which is kind of the closing reception, and it'll also be at Magnus and Park Gallery. So you can come and meet the artists and view the work and be part of this special community event. I hope to see you there.
That's right. And those artists that are there, NAK Art, Mayra Villalobos Campos, Heza Feza, Short, Kria, Lorraine Bays, Jordan AK, XOSO. Then we got the duo Flashy Cashy, Amora, who's 2 years old, Nola, 3, Heron, 4, Marina, 12, Juan, 14, a whole plethora of artists. The Winter Solstice Show will put that visual art from Nomadic Nebula you'll get to hear it live on stage. So it's kind of like, in a way, it's kind of an extension of this Magnuson Makers too.
Okay.
Like, see the people more in action and performance mode. But I'm so thrilled how we found support with space in this ways. And there's just so much expansion happening that's felt right now and celebrated. Thank you, Teriko.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Magnuson Park Gallery Exchange, a periodic series focused on the artists and the arts community showing at the Magnuson Park Gallery.